I want to welcome all of you. It's welcome. I'm Ellen Gamrath, and I'm president of the Board of Holden Village. And we really appreciate this opportunity to gather with you and to hear some of the things that you have to say. As those of you who are have been in community for a while, you know that Elmer and Roger do a More About Holden, and the format in that is an informing you of things. As you know, we're just a day and a little bit more into our board meetings, so we really don't have any great decisions to share with you. We're in the middle of our process, but we're just happy to sit down with you for an hour and to hear some of the things that you want to share with us. And there are quite a few board members here, hopefully all of them, and I'll introduce them to you a little later so that you know who they are. I would like to begin by reading you something that very seldom gets read, and it's just a portion of our Articles of Incorporation. And this portion speaks to what is sort of the cornerstone or the touchstone of the board and what we measure things against. Holden Village is organized to provide a community for healing, renewal, and refreshment of people through worship, intercession, study, humor, work, recreation, and conversation in a climate of mutual acceptance under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The purpose of this community is to participate in the renewal of the church and the world by proclaiming the gospel of God's unconditional love in Jesus Christ, rehabilitating and equipping people for ministry in the world, lifting up a mission of God's kingdom of peace, justice, and wholeness, and celebrating the humor and the diversity of the church, all humanity, and all creation. We thought we'd begin by just sharing a little with you of the kinds of things that we are looking at and considering. The board deals with program and with policy, and those are the things that we are concerned about now. Elmer, would you like to give them a little feel of some of the things we're talking about?
Okay. The board, as you may know, meets once annually. There are up to 30 members on it, 28 presently. We gather here at the village each year. They have, that's the tradition to do that. And they respond to a couple of things that are provided them. First, they respond to what they bring with them, their thinking, their experience of the year, the time they've spent in the village before, and often some who come here before the board meeting as well. But they respond to reports that are prepared by Roger Ockman as business manager and myself, and reports that deal with the other activities, and if there's something of interest in registration or recruitment of volunteers, whatever it may be, those all can be brought before them too. They usually have some of the folks from the village operational life spend 5 minutes with them chatting a little bit and sharing what they're doing. And then this year there were two things that were a little different. They had set up for a meeting last year, so some plans for doing some long-range thinking about the village. And so the board members themselves and other people, and indeed some people in the community here, of long-term staff, submitted suggestions or proposals to them for consideration as they go through their long-range planning process. And so filtering through, I don't know if anybody counted how many suggestions came, there were 60, something like that, going through that and getting those in some kind of an order because they came in all different directions, shapes, sizes, and flavors, get some time. They started that process and we'll spend some more time then looking at those suggestions. That was one. And the other is we put together what we call some think groups that the board has been assigned into. There are five of them. See if I can remember. I didn't bring a sheet along. One was on long-range planning itself, so there's an ongoing process, not just at this meeting. Another one is on the TCOA concept. The TCOA concept is what keeps the landing community going down a 25-mile creek. It has evolved from board meetings in the past. It has to deal with a commitment to intentional community life on a spiritual journey as a Christian. It has to do with care for the earth, usually farming, doing something in raising food, and it has to do with hospitality. That concept, which the board has in times past affirmed as something they would like to espouse, not only here but elsewhere. That's another think group. A third is publicity, history, and
fundraising.
Fundraising. There's a think group that's working on that. There's a group that's working on the Holden environment, the ecological scene, and all that's around us. And then there's one on volunteerism and community. Is that defined? Okay. These are think groups because they aren't assigned, you know, to do any things in terms of taking over and run off and do this, but to actually be alerted and thinking, and lots of the things that happen in Holden that maybe aren't obvious sort of slip in under one or the others of those. And I think we indicated we have a list of those and the assignments up near the board, at the board where they're the pictures of the board are listed as well at the entrance to the dining hall. The meeting itself is just a good deal of that interchange around the topics that are brought up there, and of course board members themselves bring in topics that are added to the agenda. That's in addition to the normal process then of the responsibilities of setting meetings and approving whatever has to really be approved, and the election of members to the board, which is also part. That's not happening this year, will happen at the next meeting.
Albert, can we get a quick, brief overview of the composition of the board? Is that something you need to explain?
Okay, why don't I introduce the people, and that would be a way for you to see them and to hear. Roger has, Elmer has told you how many there are, and their terms are 6 years and rotating, and one year it will be the LCA group that is predominantly replaced, and then 2 years later the ALC group, and 2 years after that Missouri Synod, AELC. We have more than, we started out with three and now we have more, so it's a little more complicated. They are regional, which is the representation from the Pacific Northwest is proportionately greater than from other parts of the country. They're regional, there are at-large members, there are national members, one for each of the major church bodies. So there are different categories and then different constituencies. And the range is from, well, you'll see as people stand up, but...
And other than Lutheran.
And other than Lutheran. So I'll read the list, and if the people will stand, I can tell you the areas that they're from. Are there other things that you'd like to know about them as they stand, related to your question?
Okay.
Chuck Anderson from Auburn, California, who's an ALC general member. David L. Brown from Des Moines, Iowa, who is an ALC national representative. Claire Dassler from Portland, Oregon. AELC regional. Jerry Dobley from Portland, Oregon. There's Jerry, who is an ALC regional. Rudy Edmond from Thousand Oaks, California, who is an LCA national representative. Dan Erlander from Washington, who is an LCA general member. Myself, Mercer Island, Washington, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod regional. Ann Hafton, who's from Minneapolis, Minnesota, LCA General.
ALC.
Are you
LCA?
Wait.
Oh, I forgot.
I didn't know. Paul Hansen, Idaho Falls, Idaho, LCA Regional, Lee Kleinhans, Appleton, Wisconsin. Lee is Lutheran Church Missouri Synod National. Dwayne Landsberg, Vancouver, Washington, back there, ALC Regional. Rick Lowen, Longview, Washington, LCA Regional. There's Rick. Mark Lundholm, Evanston, Illinois, LCA General. Hertha Lutz, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Hertha's ALC General. Charlie Mays, Minneapolis, Minnesota, ALC General. Don Nelson, Burnsville, Minnesota, ALC General. Carol Nolte, Los Angeles, California, Carol, ALC General. Sounds like we've got a bunch of generals here, doesn't it? Bob Quello, Pullman, Washington, ALC Regional. Paul Scott, he's from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, LCMS General. Stan Severson, Bellevue, Washington, there's Stan back there, LCA Regional. Hans Baltaholtz from Portland, Oregon, is not here because of illness, and he's Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Regional. Greg Stieber, Leavenworth, Washington, back there, ALC Regional. Jack Strand, another Canadian, Vancouver, British Columbia, LCA General. Nancy Vignac, Tacoma, Washington, ALC Regional. Eunice Visser, Hood River, Oregon, AELC Regional. Jackie Wecker, Puyallup, Washington, LCA Regional. Elmer Witt is also a member of the board. Chelan, Washington, Holden Village, Washington. And lastly, Bob Woodworth from Bellevue, Washington, and he is Methodist General. We get input from our constituency, which you all are, and we also are, in a variety of ways, and we had one delightful sharing that was done at our board meeting, and that was from the teenagers in Holden Village, and it was a very thoughtful letter telling us what the village meant to them and listing some of their hopes about ways in which the teens might be involved in the community. And you see, sometimes by written expression of feelings and dreams for Holden, sometimes it's a one-to-one conversation, and the pictures are posted in the entry to the dining hall, so you can track any of us down. I don't know if the new members' pictures are up yet, but they will be soon. By the morning. So if you see any of us walking around the village, we are always open to dialogue and to hearing your stories and what Holden has meant to you or what you think it might mean and questions that you might have. It's open. Your meeting.
What determines general or regional or national?
Well, regional is the Pacific Northwest, and there are proportionate numbers of members in each of the categories. General can be any place in the United States.
Or Canada,
thank you. And when the designations were made, it was trying to get a spread that would represent all of you in the evenest way possible. And then the national, they are suggested to the presidents of the various synods, and then they approve them. I don't know if that answered your question any more fully.
So didn't it really start with a regional and a national representative, and then to sort of fill in the things that might be missing? We want to cover this area, that we want to be sure there's enough laypeople on, that there certainly are women represented, and we desperately need more color on the board and things like that. The generals tend to fill in those areas. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's a mix of business people and people with theological insight and Rudy geology and the natural sciences, and so it, yeah. We do try to get a spread so that we have good input in our meetings.
You might also mention that all of us have some experience with Holy Village.
That's a good point. Nancy, why don't you tell them a little bit about that?
Well, all of the people on the board have had quite a bit of experience with Holden Village, both as guests and working on staff. Many of them have had the opportunity to live at the village for an extended period of time, several months, maybe even a year or even longer than that. I think from what I can see, there's a real attempt to include people who would have many different kinds of perspectives on the village.
Can I add just a yes to that, that they might say, since I don't have to pay anything to travel to this meeting, they are volunteers, just like the rest of the folks who come to Holden on teaching staff and operational staff. They pay their own expenses to get here, and they're not paid any stipend or anything for being on the board. They are volunteers like the rest of us who come.
You know who we are, and as you ask or give comment, I'd like to know who you are, and I'm going to pick up with asking who you are and then move on to the others who are asking.
I'm Jane Sebrin, and I'm from Batavia, Illinois.
Thank you, Jane. I believe you were next, and then you.
I'm Paul Nussel from Western Washington. I'm interested in the process by which new names become suggested for nomination. For example, as you might expect my bias, I would hope when learning the process that it might be possible to propose some names of persons under 25 years of age. How would that be done if I had or we had observed persons who might be considered? How would we go about doing that?
Most of us are under 25.
See, there's a good deal of fantasy at the board.
I'm glad to hear that. That'll produce results.
Every 2 years, at this particular meeting, a nominating committee will be chosen, and they will represent, in a microcosm, the board itself. Then it is their obligation to spread the word through publications. I'll speak now to what was done before our elections a year ago in the church publications, in the Holden newsletter, notices posted at the village for people just coming through. The whole procedure of who to send it to was printed in the Holden newsletter that goes out to everyone who has been at Holden, contributed to Holden. How many are on that mailing list, Elmer?
18,000.
All right. So we do spread the word. Then the names come in. Any name you nominate has to be willing to serve. We ask that the person doing the nomination have that determination before. And then they are asked to fill out a form, their Holden contacts, their interests, their church connections, all of those things, and they are processed then through the committee and then brought to the board with slots. For instance, if it would be someone from the Northwest, they might fit into an ALC slot, and part of it depends on how many openings there are a particular year. Does that answer what you're asking? So you know now that next year is going to be the year, and you can, if you have some people that you want to channel and you don't know the channels yet, you can even just send them to the village,
sure.
Couldn't they? And then they will be.
And there will channeled. Be a deadline that hasn't been set yet, but there'll be a deadline by which they have to be in so they can be processed. It won't be like sending in just before the board meeting. It'll be more like, I don't know, was it last year done?
I think it must have been around the March 15th or April 1st. So we had some lead time to go through it and correspondence with the village.
You have a couple of vacancies now. Do you intend to fill them?
There is a vacancy that was created last board meeting by Will Hertzfeld's resignation because he was becoming bishop of the AELC. And we will be filling an interim, filling with nominations to a vacancy. I can't think of the words, the vacancy that occurred. But the vacancies, his term will be up in 86, so that in our next election we will elect. But that is all the vacancies there are.
Yeah, there's one other. I took around 29 with that. But that's an AELC slot, so again, that will
national.
Be national. That will be publicized, particularly in AELC publications. But that anyone who knows an AELC member and to know one is the loved one. is welcome to know.
I believe you were next. Do you want to tell us who you are?
I had a question.
Oh, you
can I remain anonymous? He asked my question.
You're on the same wavelength. Yes.
I have a question. I wanted to express some concerns about what I've seen here. Is this appropriate?
Can you give us your name first?
My name is David Christoph. I'm a co-pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Issaquah AOC. I've been here for 2 weeks on staff. It's the first time I've been here, and I've come to Holden after hearing many of my friends speak with just stars in their eyes and wonderful experiences about Holden. And finally, I decided I should come for my vacation. As I've talked to staff members here, I find that most of them have come searching for friendships. They want to meet people. A lot of them are graduates that want to find some answers, people that have been working in jobs for a number of years. They want to switch, and they come here to find some room and some space to make some changes. And talking to staff that have been here many years, it seems like there's been a great change that has happened in the past few years. I felt, and I feel as I'm here, that there is a tremendous void, and the village is drifting, or has chosen a stance, which is one that is drawing them away from what they've always offered and what is needed more now than ever in this world. Tonight was the first worship service I've been to that had heart and soul in it, and I don't say that in a derogatory way. I mean, I believe that worship is the center, the very center of the Christian community. And here, I've felt lacking as I've talked. I felt, where is the heart and soul? Tonight, I was really, I felt good because I could feel something in the worship service. I noticed that the staff enrollment is way down. I know there's many reasons. It's part of our generation. Volunteerism is not the in thing. Everybody wants to make money. However, when I come here and see young people who are searching and who care, I mean, most of the peace rallies I go to, everybody's over 30, 35. Here, there are young people who care, and they are searching. They really are searching, just like the good old days when everybody came here and they had to turn staff away because there was so much of a search. I'm working with families now. It's my job at the church. And the greatest social issue that I can see, one of the greatest ones, is the breakup of the family. And I find that we're just beginning to see the results of it. It's not an old hat issue. It's just killing us. And to come here and I feel there's a stance against young people and against children, not hard against, but just that the fact that we don't have a program for them. I think that says an awfully lot about future staff members. Many staff members, I think, come here because they've come as children and they loved it so much they come back. I question who would want to come back if you're treated like you're not part of a great social issue. I think there's some real problems here. My feeling is that what Holden needs to be is a spiritual place, a very, 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 very spiritual place. Social issues are important, but if they don't start with some issue inside me, my relationship to Jesus Christ, I'm not a fundamentalist, but it is nice to hear Jesus Christ mentioned in a worship service and mentioned in Vespers. As I get older, I see that all that I have to offer to my families and the kids is a relationship with Christ, and then we do all the nice little psychological stuff too. So I just speak, and I'm very, very concerned that Holden is changing, because I don't sense the spirit that I was told about from my friends. As I say, as I've mentioned, talked to older staff, they've said, yeah, I used to come here and get all excited, and it was a spiritual renewal. Now it's not so much that. The final thing, I think many of the staff, the hours are awfully long. 6 hours is not much 6 days a week, but if you come here to retreat, it is. And I think now as staff is having to double up, people are putting in 8-hour days, not getting paid. I think that affects the camp too. And so I hope that Holden will really address the issue of, I know you are working on volunteers, but it really is from the staff when you're starting to take a toll.
Thank you for sharing that. Appreciating that. Worship and the content and is one of the things that is looked at by our board. Appreciate that.
In fact, I want to really emphasize that. I mean, we talked about a lot of those issues today because those are very important issues in our hearts and in our commitment to the village. And part of the reason why we talked about it was because many of us had been listening to people who had been expressing those same things. And part of the reason we talked about it was because we should share the love that you're talking about.
And I think these kind of things, on a one-to-one basis, I would encourage you to share with the board. I think tonight we more want to just hear from you and to gather it in. But thank you very much. And feel free with any of us to ask what is being done in conversation around the village. Will you be around a while longer?
Sure.
Good. Thank you. Sort of make a noise, but I don't see your hand waving. Would you tell
me back here on the
tell us who you are?
I'm Marilyn Scott, and I'm from Edmonton, Alberta. I have a husband that's on the board, but I also have some concerns that have arrived this year. I feel, for the first time, and this is the fourth year for me, a little bit out of sync. I talk in those terms because I write basically for a lot of film and television, and so that's part of my vocabulary, but it is just a little bit like when you get into a theater and the movie's fluttering a little bit and you can't get it quite in focus. And I think part of it, I guess, started with an information sheet that my kids received and my daughter saw, who is 12 and a half, that emphasized that this was an adult retreat. And she had never heard of that before. And it's taken her 2 days to get over that because suddenly she felt that maybe she didn't really belong here. And we talked about it, but no, that wasn't, you know. But for her, the word, and I know I mentioned it at one point, and the idea was that, really the topics we cover are adult topics, and it really is for adults. And I began to do some thinking about that, and I thought, okay, what is an adult? What makes it an adult topic? Is it because you're 18 or 21, suddenly you can deal with these things? And I thought, that doesn't hit me, because some of the greatest insights I've got on very difficult problems have come from children. The thing that really comes to mind is my mother died of cancer 5 years ago. My daughter was 7 and a half. We went to the funeral parlor to see my mother laid out, and she insisted she wanted to see Nana. That was fine. We felt that was okay. She looked at her and she said, they didn't really do her hair right. She looks pretty now, But it's all right, Mom. That's just a cocoon now. She's a butterfly. You know, if you think that doesn't blow you away when you're in a state of sorrow, suddenly that was something that allowed a whole new insight. And that came from a 7.5-year-old child dealing with death. And so I think sometimes when we have a problem with North American culture, Western culture to a degree, that we shove aside children as you and say that they can't really deal with these things. And I think maybe sometimes they can give us some very sharp insights. And I hope that Holden emphasizes the idea of being a community retreat, because I think people need that. And I certainly do. It has been a really focus and a point for me. But I hope we don't start labeling, because once we label, we do exclude.
Thank you, Marilyn.
I'm Tim Kieschnick. I'm Cook here. I'm just curious a little bit more about the agenda. Do you only sit and talk about long-range things? You've made allusions to a few other things. Can you be more specific about what you're talking about? I mean, not necessarily. I got a general idea of the long-term things, but one other thing.
We spent time specifically on theme and program direction for the next 2 years. We have a proposal from some folks about the possibility of reforestation of the tailings. That's a consideration. The hydroelectric plant and the power systems here, which has been an ongoing concern of the board for a number of years. Some proposals about that that the board looks at because it affects program, but then the general direction is given to the trustees to work that out. A new sewer system, which again doesn't, well, I suppose it affects the program too. it has to do with expenditures, and what this board is concerned about is how much money is expended that might not then be spent for program. And so they participated in that discussion, but that's a trustee's matter, but that was also discussed today. The communication system. Report on that for how this board is concerned about the well-being of the people who are here and how good the systems we have are, and the new system that we're hoping to have in by the end of the month. Time is spent on the discussion of that so that they're well informed and can be reassured we're doing as much as we can for that. One of the proposals that came in that the board was wide open to was some sort of additional social room space for the village, and finding a decent place to do that, a good place or best place, and working on that so that both at times when it's rainy or for elderly people who don't go hiking out or during the winter time or whatever it may be, space, additional space for the social aspect of the program would be. Any others that pop to mind? Good review of the minutes and checking back things we did do or didn't do, and all of that comes up too.
Are there minutes published at the end of the session?
We don't distribute them.
Not 18,000 of them.
No.
But you're welcome to look at them. First, and then.
I'm Ron James from Mercer Island. I'd like to go back to some of the earlier comments regarding the program direction and the youth issue. We are Church in America. We have a congregation in Mercer Island of about 750. It's considered an affluent community and an affluent congregation. Since about 1970, one could count on one or at most the fingers of both hands the number of folks between the ages of 18 and 28 in our church at one time, most of whom had been in that church for 15 years up until age 18, such as two sons of ours, ages of 21 and 23. I'd like to suggest that some of the concern is partly a matter of preaching to the choir, as opposed to preaching to those that are not here, or not in the choir, not in the church, such as our own children in some cases, perhaps many cases. I agree that Holden is fluttering from Harpsburg, but the strengthening, I think, has to go beyond just a revitalization of what was. It needs to reach out a lot further to the unchurched among the so-called Christian community, which is, I submit, more than a minor part of it, perhaps a major part of it. We haven't found the answers as parents. We look to places like Holden for that kind of refreshment ourselves, to go back to our own family to administer and to evangelize. We need that kind of inner strength first before we can witness and perform a greater outreach to the community at large. So here's another dimension, I think, of the strengthening we need as guests, as pastor types, in addition to those that are within the faith and yet want more. We need to make sure that our various flanks are covered, I think, within our own families.
Thank you, Robert.
Could I respond to that a little bit? What you said rings so familiar to me, because I grew up in an affluent Lutheran congregation in Minneapolis, and I went away after graduation from college and completely left the church and didn't have any involvement with congregational life or other Lutherans, completely ignored Lutheran campus ministry, wouldn't have anything to do with it. And then I got involved with a bunch of friends that went to a completely different breed of church, an evangelical free church, and got kind of a different kind of renewal that I didn't know about. But my roots were really here. I'd been here when I was 16 with my youth group, and this is where I wanted to come back to. So despite, 4 years of just kind of no church, hey, party down, and then this sort of, blanding over into fundamentalism, then I had it in my head that I wanted to come to Holden Village. I wanted to come back here where I'd had this good experience when I was 16. And I came and worked on the staff for 5 years, and really, that was my 5 months, and that was the really rooting experience for me in the church. So it works when it works right, I think.
And it may be as you see people that you resonate with, you want to pick up on conversations around coffee or something too. Thank you, Roger. And Al?
Ellen, as you know, Al Meyer from Valparaiso. I was here once before, 15 years ago, with three boys who were very young at the time. I'm thinking of the comments made by at least two and a half speakers who have been somewhat critical of the, what I take it has been a conscious decision to emphasize that this is an adult community and that primary emphasis would be given to adult programs. I think that showed up in the literature that we received before we came here. I'm curious what the response is to these speakers who have indicated something has gone awry here in terms of emphasis, a changing emphasis. There must have been a conscious decision that the program would be geared to an adult community rather than emphasis on teenagers and so forth. And I guess I would like to hear the response to those who have been critical of that.
I'd say just some things. The board is still discussing these things and some of the things. So speaking of what they're saying, going to say now, I'm not trying to do that. I think unfortunately we didn't do the publicity well. The word primarily should have been said, because we have a whole avenue of trying to reach the adolescents who are here specifically to bring them in. The very idea that Marilyn was saying, that their value comes when they participate in everything that is going on. But I think historically, and those of you who have been on the board certainly longer than I, said that they have avoided trying to make this another youth camp or another children's camp. That it was focused on the adults in terms of the program that was put together, but gladly received and worked with the Narnia program and people like Paul Nussel working with the adolescents so that they come to use as much of the villages as possible. And obviously, from some of the things you said, when we did the publicity on that kind of approach, we didn't do it well. And that it doesn't represent, let's get rid of everybody, but let's keep our focus and let it be known these other people are most welcome. And we spent a lot of time, a lot of effort on the Narnia program and certainly in the kinds of things that Paul are doing to make them feel welcome. I apologize for my part and the other, in the failure on the other part. And I think we'll work at trying to make that clearer. So it doesn't represent it. Sure.
Hold it, Ann. Just to finish your response, that has been intergenerational. Yeah. And I think we have not played down to make it a program just for teens. And that was a decision for young people, but there have been programs and they have been included. And to me, it has been more a matter of terminology, and if there are other things that are going on, we should be corrected or made aware of them so that we can make decisions. And that's what this evening is all about. Does that speak to what you're asking? And this terminology of adult came up in our meetings, and it gave an impression that we hope is not the correct impression. But if it is, if there's things that are happening, like you said, then we need to know about them.
Now, our two teenagers are terribly excited about the program this year. Uh-huh. They're 15 years old.
These are grandchildren.
Yeah.
Doris Edmund, Rudy's wife. Now, I'll give some equal time to the balcony.
Ann Strand from Vancouver, B.C. So I was hearing that as though there was some conscious change in ministry to youth, as though we now have not, they used to have it and they don't have it anymore. To me, there is more youth emphasis now than there had been. We've been coming for about 15 years now, and I remember the first time we came up here with teenagers, there was absolutely no way for them to meet anyone because there was nothing for teenagers. And I see much more happening now in the last, certainly what I hear that's happening this year, and then in the last few years with the minors and so forth, there's been more conscious programming for youth.
Thank you.
So I don't see it going enough.
Thank you. Where are the elders? And then back. Gertrude and
Joan Neslin. Shall I go ahead?
Better you go ahead.
From Ellensburg. I'd like to speak a little bit on the volunteerism. I'd like to see Holden maybe modify a little bit. I heard some comments from various people this week, one that some of the retired people went home exhausted. And they worked too hard and they wanted to come and work and help, but not work all the time. My husband and I and our two sons have tried, we would like to somehow get in the community as staff and are unable, and we understand the reasons, but wish it were possible still.
You're here for how long?
We were here for 10 days as guests.
I see.
But we have tried various times to come either for a 3-week staff or a 3-month staff in the winter possibly. But for housing and things, we have two small children which require care and things. I would like to see some time sharing of volunteerism, some, pay volunteer, work 4 hours, pay half price. I realize that the money that comes in from the guests is important as it carries the program through the year. And that the staffing the volunteers also helps save the money. But if there could be some way that people who do want a sabbatical or a retreat or families could work, you could work something else where it's not just strictly single people can come. Think of us as a whole unit, a family unit, and people who would like to work and not put in the full time.
To look at expanding the possibility.
Yeah, I think you would then get more volunteers.
Thank you, Bill.
I just want to say something for. Oh, I'm Gertrude Lundholm from Rock Island, Illinois, and I've been here a good many years. And I don't want to romanticize the past, but I want to emphasize that when we started the program at Holden, Carol Hinderly at that time said, we have fractured the American family. We've got to put them back together again, and they're going to be babies here, and people are up in the 80s and 90s, and make it all fit together. He did not want, and I still think this was a good policy, that we're not here to entertain people of all ages, but to find new kinds of creativity that's here. And we want to be different than the outside world, where young are entertained constantly with TV, parents running, getting them to all kinds of things. Here's one place we can back away and let's see where creativity can be without all those things. And we saw over and over again, children are lost, teenagers are lost because we don't have TV here. You know, we don't have plan programs, we have much less, but it was fun to see that after kids had been here like 3 days, oh, there's something else to do outside nature. My parents aren't with me every minute, but I know they're here. And while the programs became adult nature, it was like, I've heard many college kids come and say, I've learned more here in 3 weeks than I've learned in the whole year of college, because I could sit in all these adult discussions. I didn't understand them all, but it was a real eye-opener. And if we think we've forgotten some of that, that the youth should be included in that. We don't force it on them, but it's here. And we don't take advantage of it. Staff doesn't always take advantage of it. We never used to have anything scheduled on Saturdays because that was family day. You hike with your children. It is not a place to come here and dump them and say, hold them, we'll take care of them. It was to put us back together as families to enjoy, go hiking, play games, read stories, fish, go fishing. And I think we've gotten, we're not going to leave the children to somebody else all the time. But we want to put you back together where we've separated you outside. And I think some of those, well, it may sound ideal, I'm seeing that, I hear people say over and again, I'm so glad to go home because I don't have to take care of my kids. And it should be rest for you, but that's why we have Narnia. You have some free time, but you don't have to have the children all the time. Teenagers, if you just have, we used to have leaders somewhat so that they would meet each other, but say, okay, after that, let them organize some fun. Why should the parents organize everything they do? That's what we do at home, it's what's wrong. And I think Poland should be a different emphasis of say, let's start creating families again, things we can do together. We had a family from my church that came here and I thought, I didn't think anything was happening right. And when I got home, I thought they weren't even participating. So it's the greatest thing we ever did as family. It put us back together again. We had found ourselves, we were disagreeing, we were having rebellion. And just being here and redoing some of those different things together made a whole difference to that family when they left. And I think those are some things we should reevaluate again, uphold them, and say, can't we recreate some of that family orientation where they're included in adult stuff, and we also enjoy what the children do. It's not like we're leaving them out. My children have been here. My daughter was 8 when she came. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to her. She continued to be enrolled in college. She said, I want to go back to home for lifestyle. It was the greatest thing we ever did for her, was to put her here where there was creativity, community participation, adult discussions, and parents would often say, isn't that wonderful? Your child can be with you on things like abortion when she was a teenager. And she and I had walks together that I've never forgotten. She never forgot. She'd say, what do you think about that, Mom? And I thought, she's getting in all kinds of things that we would never have done at home anymore. And I would like to see that happen again, or people's attitude change, and that we don't provide something every minute.
Thank you, Gertrude.
That's where I see the burden of work sometimes. Yeah, I taught crafts, and Carol Nolte and I had all the crafts. We did all the teaching, I think, that we still do. My husband and I started weaving. We brought the looms here. We had the looms in Chalet 7. We taught everything we're teaching now, but we had time to go to sessions. We didn't teach everything every day, so it was crammed. I don't think we have to be all things to all people. You know, take a choice. Have some free time for yourself and do something you want to do without being provided. Clear, I didn't mean to preach. I just want to
Amen.
Yes.
I would hope that
your name first.
Please. Oh, Carolyn Thorpe from Brooklyn Park.
Carolyn?
Minneapolis, actually. I would hope that Holden continues to have an emphasis on dealing with contemporary social issues. That we came 4 years ago, and it was just such a wonderful experience for me, and felt good, so good to be a Lutheran. I could see how people were thinking about that in religious terms or in spiritual terms, you know, the different social issues that we don't hear out there very often. It was just, you know, I just want to emphasize that I think we should continue to provide programs like that.
Lively dialogue.
Right.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And I hope people, I'm Doris Edman, I hope people realize what a wealth we have in our tape library. If you don't, if it's a rainy day and you can't do the hike you were expecting to do, go in and find a tape and listen to it. It may be 10 years ago, but it's still as rich today as it was then. And I just feel that maybe if you're not happy with the types of lectures you're getting at the moment, you can find the time you want.
Thank you, Doris.
Excuse me, and if you don't know what some of the good stuff is or even the interest in, there are a lot of people around who would be glad to chat with you about that. To, you know, selectively throw up names and throw up, like Zephania Kamita's presentations last September here. Was a black bishop, well, he said he wasn't really a bishop, from Namibia.
That Dan referred to tonight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His tapes are here in town. They're just marvelous. Live and filled with the Spirit and filled with Jesus Christ. I think you'll have a whole time all by yourself if you did something like that.
Can I say something again about children's stories? You know, you parents looking for something to do. One of the most exciting men we've had here is Walt Rangren, who is a storyteller, but he's a pastor and he's a writer. And his tapes are simply marvelous and give you a real good insight about the excitement of starting with scripture stories to your children. And his father was a pastor, but he always made up a story about Ambrose the dragon. And he said, that story lived with me all my life. But Ambrose, he said, what a point he missed that if he had started with the awe of creation. And the excitement of that to your children very, very early. His tapes are in there, called, one's called Story Love. I'd advise every parent to pick it up and listen to it.
Story what?
Story Love. And it's so exciting, you think, oh, if I'd only had those when my children were little. The seeing the importance of what storytelling is. And I think those are the things that are advantageous in the tape. You know, just for you to get informed. We had some, I remember I shared with Nancy years ago when Lee Griffin was here and talked about what's happening even in the fetus. You know, that you begin telling stories and you sing and the child recognizes some of those things that early. And those tapes are in there. You know, there's all kinds of health things like that, for parenting health, that I wished I had known as a parent. And I've shared that with many people even this summer. Go get some of those things to help you as a parent. I didn't have it, but I wish I had. I'm just glad my children were here. It's terrible.
Thank you, Gertrude. Yes. Your name?
I also think there's a difference between the need of those that come in for the first time and maybe only here a few days or a week at the most, and those that come year upon year and maybe are here for longer periods of time. Whatever children or that they bring along, this is sort of old home week or the adult same thing. But for people who sometimes come brand new, it takes a little while. They need a little bit of help in getting oriented to the devotion, really finding out what there is to do. It doesn't just happen for them the same way.
Have you been to this your first time?
Oh, no.
But you're
not particularly talking about myself. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about others who that come the first time, and I think can feel rather than in, can feel out unless somebody helps them.
Thank you, Audrey.
Wayne Boschholtz, having just come in today, I thought that the film script that we had did a very good job of doing that very thing.
In the orientation,
yes.
You mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you felt brought in quickly,
yes,
to the community. Thank you.
Ellen,
Paul Hanson. I'd like to piggyback on what Agnes has said, and this is a suggestion, I guess, for any here who are staff. First of all, an appreciation to the staff on behalf of the board for the terrific job that you do and for the service that you have here. I think it is helpful to think of the village as certainly an ongoing experience, and yet for people like the ones Agnes is referring to, for whom this is maybe a short visit, maybe even as little as one day, it's a little bit like a movie. And for some of us who have been here several times, we run the risk of thinking of the whole movie, and maybe one little frame of it may not be all that good, but the rest of it is good. We have to think in terms of, for some people, they only see one frame. And it's very important that that frame be as good as possible. And I guess I would suggest that not just to staff, but to any of us as guests, we impact one another's day by what we say and by just the relationship we have one with another. And if we tend to think of some of the other people that we run into, this may be their only day here. And what do we do to help that be a rich frame for them if it's their only experience in the building?
Thank you, Paul. We've heard about things being out of focus, or what did you say?
Out
of sync. Okay, and I think Paul is speaking to the same thing.
Behind you.
You've got two. You've got one here and one there.
All right. Up above, and then things above first, and then things below. Little theology thrown in.
I'm Janet Liz from Long Beach, California. This is my second summer here on staff. And I struggle and would like to emphasize again the family issue, because I struggle with what I sense at times are people who are here to retreat for themselves, and yet the family members are along. And I'm wondering what kind of information is sent to families to prepare them perhaps for the kind of experience they have here. Again, maybe reinforcing some of the things that Gertrude is talking about, so that they can do some creative planning before they get here to adapt to the situation, so that staff and community members don't feel as though, in some cases, we are the ones who are looking after or entertaining or taking care of. You know, Holden probably does take a different kind of parenting, a new set of creating ideas rather than just vegging out in front of the television. And so perhaps there are some cues, something sent to people to prepare them for this experience. I know in many instances I have sensed and felt and resented as a staff person what I saw as people who were simply letting the kids run, people who were letting the community care for and be responsible for their children.
Thank you. And who was
Jim over there.
Jim, you want to say?
Yeah, it seems to me that...
Your name first?
Jim Carr, Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you.
Seems to me that there's no question about mission and purpose, and I'm sorry I didn't hear all of the statement that you began reading at the beginning.
I'd be glad to read it at the end again, because I think we need to hear it often too, as board members.
Well, if we're taking the board, I guess I would. I think what you're talking about is the primary and the secondary purpose for the village. And I guess my vote would be strongly as its primary function to try and reach adults with an institute of renewal and an open forum where adults can do some discussing and learning and sharing with one another. It seems to me in this society that's probably much more needed than basically a shotgun approach of trying to hit every age group in a family. It seems to me that children can probably do a lot better if they're left a little more on their own. And maybe the minimal programming that the village could provide might be just what the doctor ordered. It seems to me that in the evangelism efforts of the church, too often we've tried to reach the children, and through the children reach the adults. I have a hunch that might just be backwards.
Thank you, Jim.
Has there ever been or ever thought of an exit interview?
or several little questions. How was your stay?
Yeah.
What did you like about it? What was the least helpful? It doesn't have to be involved, but that might be something to consider. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gloria.
Piggybacking on that, I've wondered if there's ever any... Oh, Charles Lutz, Minneapolis. Is there ever any evaluation that's done, either written or oral, by guests?
Winter program.
Winter program, that's right. Summer guests have...
I can only speak in the last 15 months.
Yes, there is a suggestion box. Is that
and that's,
still in operation?
And it is, and things come in every week, and they're distributed out to wherever they go. Some go to Narnia, some go to the cook, some go to...
But people have to take the initiative to do that. There's no routinized evaluation.
That's not what you're saying.
Nor an intentional invitation to do something.
Thank you.
Bus drivers could really give you an insight.
Who's speaking?
Kenneth Anderson from Seattle.
Thank you. Bus drivers could...
Bus drivers could give you an insight on how they enjoy the whole village and what have you.
The exit down. Ride down.
Yes.
For those of you who didn't hear, he said they're holding them hostage.
You liked it or else.
Is there one last person who just... Yes, Dan? Say who you are.
Dan Erlander in transit.
And anyone who doesn't... anyone who doesn't know who Dan is, Miss Vespers tonight. Yes, yeah. No.
Oh, I have a memory of a year ago. Lorraine Dunn, who was a ranger at the dock that used to get everybody lined up. She was baptized here at the village. Yeah. I remember asking her in the instruction why she decided to become a Christian and to be baptized. And she said, well, for years I was on the dock and people just looked better when they came than when they went. They look better when they're after they've been older when they've been
older. Did everyone hear the corrected version?
She was touched by what she felt happened to people up here. Very precious to me to hear that.
So that was evangelism that we didn't know we were doing.
I'd just like to say, from my personal experience these last 4 days, I have sensed the ears of the board in the village, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for sharing that, and we will, all of us, try to continue to be available, and appreciate at the end of a long day your coming and sharing with us, and as I said before, let this be the continuation or the beginning of the sharing. Let it go on. And Elmer, in the next More About Holding, if you have questions that relate to what happened in the board meetings, it's open, there are not secrets, and that will be an ongoing source of information for you and of sharing. Mm-hmm.